Thank you, thank you. You're very, very kind. I appreciate that. Thank you to Daniel and Dinah. That was a wonderful song. You folks are a blessing to us. Appreciate you too. Hoping Daniel learns English one day. But I don't know anybody with an accent like Daniel Rush. It's amazing. But praying for the heirs. That was a good song. My wife and I were talking just the other day and said, isn't it amazing? We never thought when we were college students here many years ago that God would allow us to come back and teach here. And what a blessing it is. An honor, really, to be able to teach here at Hiles Anderson College. And I'm honored to stand here today behind this pulpit. And I'm glad that you're here. I think probably if I were to ask, maybe take a survey, I think that most of you, many of you at least, would say that I felt like there was a time in my life where God called me to serve Him. Whether I surrendered to full-time service or surrendered to the ministry or surrendered to be specifically a pastor or a missionary, many of you would say, yes, I feel like I've been called. One of the most sobering verses in the Bible is when Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. I believe there are many young people in America today that God called them and they didn't respond. Maybe they were at the same camp you were, and God called them and they decided that they would not listen to that call. I believe there were others that answered that call, but then for whatever reason decided not to get further training. And so they're not here. They're not at any Bible college. They're working a secular job with that burden on their heart that God called me and I haven't done anything about it yet. And so I'm thrilled that you're here. Because life is really just a series of decisions. And you made a decision to come here, and that was a good decision. I hope you'll make a solid decision to stay as well. God wants to choose you. He called you because He wants to use you. And it's an amazing thing to be used by Almighty God. And I'm honored to stand here today and represent Him. I'm hoping to take His word and maybe make part of it a little clearer and a little easier for you to apply to your own life. And I've asked God many times today and this week that He would use me. It's an amazing thing to be used by God. I don't want to just be called. I want to be chosen. And then I want to be faithful. And I hope you have that same desire. I'm going to ask you to take your Bible and turn, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, probably chronologically the last chapter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He is an older man now, and he's toward the end of his ministry. And he's writing to a young person, Timothy, a young preacher boy who's just getting started in the ministry. And please don't think that I'm preaching this because I'm the older guy about to check out. I got a long way to go. Amen. There's a in the ready room for the chapel speaker, there's a picture on the wall from our missions conference. And I'm on the platform with Brother Bachman and Brother Sisk. And Dr. Don Sisk just turned 90 years old. Still serving the Lord. That means I got at least 33 years left. Amen. I'm going to be around for a long time, Lord willing. But here's an older man that served God for a long time, and he's at the end of his life now, and he says some very powerful things. And so I'm going to have you stand with me, if you would, and we're going to read 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then here's what I'd like to happen this morning. If you'll help me and if the Lord will help us, what I want to do is I want to give you 6 thoughts that I got from this passage, and I want to give them to you. And you may want to write them down in the margin of your Bible, or you might just want to write a key word or two or jot it down on a 3x5 card. Do they still make those? Or you might want to put it in notes on your phone is probably more realistic. But I want you to remember these thoughts. But what I really want to do is I want to the best I can connect them in your mind to this passage so that later this school year when you're reading 2 Timothy chapter 4 and you read these 8 verses, those 6 thoughts will come back to you. And then 5 years from now when you're graduated and out serving the ministry somewhere and you read this passage again, that these thoughts will come back to you. And then 35 years from now when you're my age and you're reading this passage, these thoughts will come back to you because they're things that will help you over and over and over again. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Father, thank you for this time that we have together, and I ask that you would speak through me today. And I pray that every person sitting in the room this morning would hear the voice of your Holy Spirit. Father, we need to hear from you. I pray we would not just read words and hear words, but that we would feel you working in our heart, know that you're changing us. I pray that you bless the invitation time, that we'd be yielded to you. And I pray most of all that you would be honored by all that happens here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First thought that I want to give you this morning from this passage, and you can write this down or jot down a word or two to remember it, or however you want to, but I'm going to ask you to do something to keep this thought in mind and to attach it to this passage. The first thought that I had in reading this is that we are all in a race that has a finish line. The Apostle Paul talks about finishing his course. He talks about he's at the end of the line. And all of us are here just for a short time. As a young person, it's not realistic to think about death every day, but it's important that we realize that what happens here is just temporal. So much of what happens in the world today is just temporal. And our world around us is constantly working on you and pulling at you to get you fixated on the things that only matter while you're here. I walked past a television screen in a shop recently, and there was a golf tournament going on. I don't understand golf. Maybe because I'm so bad at it. And if you play golf, maybe you're good at golf and you enjoy golf, and I'm not saying that golf is a sin, unless you play like I do, and then golf is a sin. Actually, the first time I ever played golf, I shot a 98. Now, if you know golf, 98's a good score, but I didn't do that good on the second hole. And just from then on, I just didn't really enjoy golf very much. But I was watching this tournament on television, and I thought, really, this guy spent all this money, and they're getting paid big money to go out and stand in the middle of a pasture and take a stick and hit a ball and try to get it in a hole. And what's that going to matter tomorrow? Really, how does that help anybody? What effect did that have on society? And how much is that going to matter 100 years from now? And we live in a world today that is fixated on sports and hobbies and collectibles and things, and all of which is going to get left behind when we go. And we need to continually remind ourselves that what we're doing today and tomorrow and this weekend and this semester and this year and next year and the next decade, what we need to do is focus on things that are going to matter for eternity. I'm in a race, and it's only going to last just so long, and then I'm going to come to the finish line. I love this statement. I read this statement just recently. It said, in the Christian life, we don't win the race by winning the race. We win the race by staying in the race. You're in a race of doing things. You're in a marathon of doing things for Jesus Christ that are going to matter forever, and you're running through a world that's constantly pulling at your sleeve and saying, no, come over here and use your time and your energy and your money for things that really won't matter in 100 years. And we have to remember that we're here for a short time, and we're in eternity for, well, eternity, amen, because we're going to be there forever. The men and the women that stand in front of you here at Hiles Anderson College, the teachers that God has given you, the preachers that stand here on the platform, to be honest, we're not super Christians. It is very possible, and we all understand this, it's very possible that some of the students sitting in the pew are better Christians than some of the teachers and the preachers that stand in front of them. The reason that we're standing in the front and teaching is not because we're super Christians. It's because we stayed in the race. Years ago, Dr. Ray Young was preaching a sermon. Some of you staff may remember this. He was preaching a sermon here in this chapel, and he had about 300 young men stand up and get in a long line that started here at the top of the step and went all the way around the chapel, all the way around the back, all the way back up this side, and ended somewhere up here. And then he said, I'm just going to have each of the young men stand up here, and I'm going to give you a reason to quit. And the first young man came up, and he said, your pastor at home quit, and so you went home. And that man went and sat down. Next one came up, he said, you couldn't give up your rock music, and got expelled. And that one went and sat down. He said, you felt you were ready for the ministry and didn't need to stick around and graduate. And that one went and sat down. And he just went through reason after reason, excuse after excuse, why people leave Bible college. And after he got rid of the whole line, he actually was standing at the end of the line with the microphone and talking through each one. And when he got to the end of the line, he was the only one left in line. He said, and that's why I'm preaching at Hiles Anderson College. Just because I stayed in the race. And I often sit in chapel and I hear you young people, and you went out on Saturday and you had more people saved than I did. You're teaching a Sunday school class, you might have more people on your bus route than I have in my Sunday school class. I'm no super Christian. I've just been in it for a long time and I'm not going anywhere. Amen. I said to a man yesterday, I said, you know, well, the commendation that the master gives to the servant in Matthew chapter 25, he does not say, well done, thou amazing servant. He doesn't say, well done, you're a great servant. He said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God's not looking for great servants. He's looking for good servants that just keep going and keep going and keep going and keep going and stay, keep doing what God told you to do and keep doing right and don't get pulled away and distracted by the things of the world. You're in a race. There's a finish line coming. Stay in the race until you get to the finish line. That's what the Apostle Paul said. That's what I did. I finished my race. I got to the end of it. I stayed on it the whole way. And Timothy, I sure hope that you'll do the same thing. First thought I want to leave with you this morning is we are all in a race that has a finish line. Number two, the Bible says in verse 2, preach the word. You can't preach the word unless you know the word. How many of you figured out that you're in a Bible college? Yeah, welcome to Hiles Anderson. Did you know that when Hiles Anderson College was started, it was called Hiles Anderson Bible College? Brother Jerry Vargo was the first student accepted by Hiles Anderson Bible College. He has a letter, and on the letterhead it says, Hiles Anderson Bible College. This is a Bible college. Thought number two, you ready for this? Learn your Bible. Learn your Bible. This is an amazing book. It's alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's your offense and it's your defense. It's the tool that you're going to use for the rest of your life. It can do what you cannot do. It's the thing that God uses through you to change lives. Learn your Bible. I would love to see all of our students make a decision that I'm going to read my entire Bible by the end of the school year. We have students sitting here, you're in Bible college, some of you are juniors and seniors, and you've never read your entire Bible through from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. And I challenge you, read the Bible. Read the Bible. We have an entire Christianity today that say that they love God, and maybe they do, but they're ignorant of the scriptures that God gave us, and the only way that you can know God is through the book that He gave us to teach us about Him. And I wonder what it would do for our campus is as we walked around the campus throughout this school year, if we walked through the chapel and there was somebody sitting in the chapel reading their Bible, and we walked out by the lake and there's somebody by the lake and they're reading their Bible, and there's somebody on a bus Sunday afternoon and they're reading their Bible, and there's somebody in their room late at night and the light's still on, not because they're watching YouTube videos, but because they're reading their Bible. And we need young people that know the Word of God. We're blown about by every wind of doctrine because we don't read our Bibles. We don't know what the Bible says. I was talking to a young lady who graduated from Bible college, went into the ministry, and served as a Christian school teacher for a number of years and then resigned because she decided she wanted to be an airline stewardess. Not a sin to be an airline stewardess. But I said, can I ask you a question, young lady? I said, do you understand that you'll be serving alcohol? And she said, really? I said, yeah, if you work on an airplane, you serve alcohol. I said, did you know that there's a verse in the Bible that says it is a curse to serve your neighbor drink? Now, here's a Bible college graduate who's been in the ministry for a number of years, and that young lady said, I didn't know that verse was in the Bible. You know how you find out that verse is in the Bible? You read your Bible. Yeah. You know, this is not a novel. You're not going to read through it like The Hobbit. It's not a novel. This book is a jigsaw puzzle that has every piece that you need for your life. And as you go through and you find verses and you connect them with other verses and the truths of the Word of God become clear and you begin to understand the mind of God, it is a supernatural book. There's only one thing on this planet that's going to be the same in heaven that it is here. It's not your body. Your body's going to get changed. It's this book right here, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And we can take a piece of heaven and learn the mind of God by reading our Bible. Let's read our Bibles and learn the Bible. Don't read your Bible to win an argument. Read your Bible to learn about the God that wrote it. Let me encourage you, every morning, every evening, whenever you read your Bible, open it up and pray and talk to the author and say, Holy Spirit, you wrote this book so I could learn about God. Would you teach me as I read? And then read that book until you get something out of it. Wouldn't it be amazing if we started every class at Hiles Anderson College by saying, what did you get from the Bible this morning? What did you get from the Word of God this week? What did God show you when you read His Word? Number one, we're all in a race that has a finish line. Number two, learn the Bible. Number three, stay ready to be used. Stay ready to be used in season and out of season. God uses people and not just on Saturday. God uses people at work. We have students here that got saved because a Hiles Anderson College student at work preached to a workmate. They got saved and now they're students here. God wants to use you when you're on vacation. When you go home, you can grow a beard, fellas, but don't stop being a Christian. Don't forget that you can get people saved and hand out gospel tracts and invite folks to church even when you're at home. There's no off time for a child of God. God wants to use us. We're supposed to be a surrendered vessel all the time and have that attitude. You know, one of the pieces of armor that protects us from our enemy, the devil, is having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It means I'm ready whenever the opportunity arises. We need to be ready to be used in the convenient times and in the inconvenient times. And I'm amazed how many times that somebody is ready to hear the gospel and it's a bad time for me. But that's when it's time to be in season and out of season. Number one, we're all in a race that has a finish line. Number two, learn your Bible. Number three, stay ready to be used. Number four, keep looking up and around and forward. I challenged my missionary education class yesterday. I said, I challenge you to spend some time every day thinking about the judgment seat of Christ. You know, if you spend a little bit of time every day thinking about graduation, you'd do better in your classes. If you thought every day about that day where we're going to sit in the auditorium at First Baptist Church of Hammond and somebody's going to be Mr. Highlander and somebody's going to be Mrs. Highlander and somebody's going to be the valedictorian, somebody's going to be the salutatorian, and somebody's going to get awards. And if you thought about that every day, it would change how you study. Some of you might do your outside reading. It would change your work schedule because you would be looking forward and saying, you know what? That day is coming, and when it gets here, I want to do well when I get there. And shouldn't we ought to do the same thing with the judgment seat of Christ? Have you ever got to the end of a week and looked back and said, have I done anything at all this week for which I could be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ? I don't think we're going to get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for sleeping. If we did, some of you are shoo-in. Amen. You're earning rewards right now. But I don't think we're going to get rewards for eating. I don't think we're going to get rewards for going to church. Going to church is not serving God. It's just getting fed so you can go out and serve God. Amen. Yeah, I really, sometimes we can be a good Christian, do everything we're supposed to do all week long and not do anything for Jesus Christ. And I think we need to take the time and stop and ask ourselves, am I prepared for the judgment seat? What if the rapture happened today? What if everything you've ever done for God in your whole life ended today and that was it? That's all you could do. Would that be embarrassing? You say, well, Brother Bushy, I'm in Bible college. I'm just getting ready to serve. You know how many Bible college students have died while they're in college? And I pray to God that doesn't happen this year or the next, but it has happened. What have you done this week? What have you done this year? We ought to be looking up. We also ought to be looking around. The Bible says that you and I should be walking circumspectly because we have an enemy. And he has a target on every one of your backs. I honestly don't know if there's a single room anywhere on the planet today that scares the devil more than this room. I don't know if there's any group of people in the world today that have the potential to step on his tail and kick him in the teeth like you and I do. And that scares him, and he's going to fight that. I had the opportunity last month to take 26 other people, 27 of us all together, and we got on a plane, we flew to Addis Ababa, which is the capital of Ethiopia, had a layover there, and then carried on from there down to Dar es Salaam, where Brother Jerry Wyatt III picked us up and took us to Morogoro. And we spent a week there in Morogoro, had the Tanzania Stadium Crusade with 838 people that got saved. And the next Sunday morning, I preached, and Brother Jerry translated into Swahili, and 74 more people got saved on Sunday morning. Had a tremendous time there. On Monday, we all loaded up and drove about 3 hours down the road to a game reserve, one of the only places in America where the wild animals just roam free. There's no fences. There's no gates. There's giraffes walking along the side of the highway like we see deer. And we went out that evening, and we were looking for one animal in particular. We were looking for lions. There was one young man with us, and he'd been there once before, and he had seen a leopard but hadn't seen a lion. Brother Bushy, I sure hope we see a lion. I said, me too, from a distance. Amen. We were sitting in Jeeps we were sitting up high. The back of the Jeep was raised up, and we were sitting up high on those seats, but there was nothing around us. It was just open vehicles. And we came up on a pride of five lions. And the driver drove right up until I was leaning out, looking down, and the lion was as close to me as I am to that little bush right there. And that thing looked up at me with those eyes that have no soul. And he was measuring me for lunch. I mean, it's a weird feeling, looking at an animal that just doesn't care, that all they're thinking about is how many calories I'm going to get out of this guy. And for me, that's a lot of calories. Amen. I looking up, and I thought, you know, I would not want to be outside the Jeep. And I want the driver to keep his foot on the gas pedal, because if that thing blinks wrong, we're out of here. You know, you have an enemy like that today that's hunting you. He's after you. He's putting thoughts in your head that shouldn't be there. I like what Ben Franklin said. Benjamin Franklin said, I can't keep the birds of the air from flying over my head, but I can keep them from nesting in my hair. The devil's going to put thoughts in your head that you shouldn't let stay there. The devil's going to try to discourage you. He's going to attack you. He's going to do everything he can to get you to quit, to give up, to surrender, to yield to sin. And we need to be aware that there's a real enemy out there. This is not a game, folks. Lester Roloff said, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation room. It's a fight and not a game. We're in this for real. And I need to be aware that I have somebody trying to take me out. I need to be looking upward, and I need to be looking around me, and I need to be looking forward and realizing that I've got to keep moving up. I've got to keep growing, and I've got to keep increasing, and I've got to keep getting better, and I've got to stay faithful. I've got to hang in there. Number one, we're all in a race that has a finish line. Number two, learn your Bible. Number three, stay ready to be used. Number four, keep looking up and around and forward. Keep your eyes open. Number five, keep winning souls. Do the work of an evangelist. There's something amazing about soul winning that keeps your heart and mind right. I've watched so many Christians change. I've watched their music change, their dress standards change. I've watched their Bible versions change, their church attendance change. But in almost every case, do you know what changed first? They stopped going soul winning. You know, I think it'd be a good idea if every once in a while you said, you know what? I'm just going to go out and I'm going to knock on 20 doors today. No matter what happens, I'm going to knock on 20 doors just to keep my edge sharp. You know the best place to learn good doctrine? Is on out soul winning. Well, you're out soul winning, people ask tough questions. And when they do, you ought to say, thank you. I have no idea what the answer is, but I'm going to go find out. You'll grow in doctrine. Amen. Well, the best way to keep your heart on fire for God is go win somebody to Christ. Well, you can go out discouraged and come back excited. The heart of God is that people get saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And when you keep winning souls, you keep the heart of God. You keep that burning fervor alive in your chest. Keep winning souls. Don't ever get away from that. My brother-in-law is Pastor John Shook. He pastors Bailey's Grove Baptist Church down in Asheboro, North Carolina. And Pastor Shook preached a sermon years ago. And the name of the sermon was, "The Main Thing is Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing." We really have to be all about soul winning. By the way, if you're a freshman here and you've never won a soul to Christ, decide to get good at it. I oftentimes, when I have the opportunity to witness to somebody, I'll say, "Has anyone ever showed you from the Bible that you can be 100% sure that you're going to go to heaven when you die?" And if they say no, I say, "You are in luck, because I am an expert. I have been trained to take the Word of God and show people how they can be sure they're going to heaven one day. And an expert is here to show you how to get saved." You know what? We all ought to be experts. We ought to have a name tag that it doesn't say Elder Brown. It says heaven expert. That's what we are. We're heaven experts. And if you're in personal evangelism, learn the verses and learn the illustrations and go out and practice and become and graduate from Hiles Anderson College a soul-winning expert. And then go out in the ministry and just keep doing it for the rest of your life. A couple of weeks ago, I went out on a bus route with Brother Mark Nesbitt. And Brother Mark and I have a connection. His granddaddy was my Sunday school teacher when I was 12 years old. And he asked me to come out on his bus route. We went out together, and during one of the visits, we stopped with a family, and I said, "Did this family come to church?" He said, "The kids do, but the parents don't come." And I met the mother there. She was from the Dominican Republic, and I asked her, I said, "Do you know you're going to heaven when you die?" And she said, "No, I don't really, and I think I'm a good person." And we were able to sit down at the table, and I was able to win her to Christ sitting there at the kitchen table. And I've been doing that since I was 15 years old, and it never gets old. And I also left there and thought, I am so glad that I served God. I mean, can you imagine if I had hit a ball with a stick and went a hole and I won $10,000? How long is that going to last? But I won somebody to Christ that I'm going to see in heaven forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. That's an amazing thing. Keep winning souls. Number one, we're all in a race that has a finish line. Number two, learn your Bible. Number three, stay ready to be used. Number four, keep looking up and around and forward. Number five, keep winning souls. And number six, be the example. Be the example. What if every Hiles Anderson College student was just like you? What kind of college would we have? What if every bus worker was a bus worker like you? What kind of bus ministry would we have? What if every student went soul winning like you went soul winning? Or handed out gospel tracts like you hand out gospel tracts? What if everybody got the same grade that you get? What kind of college would we have? The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, I want you to be an example. He said, make full proof of thy ministry. The word proof there is an example. I got a picture. How many know the name Kumpai Kutsavan? You ever heard that name before? Brother Kumpai is my dear friend that pastors in the communist country of Laos. And we've been working with Brother Kumpai and another pastor named B and another pastor named Timothy. And the three of them translated the entire Bible from the Thai Bible and the English King James into the Laotian language. And they finished the manuscript about a month ago, and yesterday they received the proof from the printer. The proof is an example. It's a single Bible to show them what all the other Bibles are going to look like. The Apostle Paul is saying to Timothy, be the example. If somebody says, hey, what does a Christian look like? You be the example. Hey, when a Christian goes to a secular workplace, how do they work? You be the example. Hey, when somebody loves God and they're a Christian and they live in a dormitory full of other students, what kind of spirit do they have? You be the example. Truth is, we all have to decide, I want to be the example. I'm nobody special, but I want to be the example. I want to be what somebody else ought to copy. I want my spirit to be copyable. I want my work ethic to be copyable. I want my ministry to be copyable. I want my family to be copyable. I want my marriage to be copyable. I want my church one day to be copyable. I just want to be an example. I'm not showing off, but if somebody said, hey, whose church do we want our church to be like? I'd like to pastor that church. Whose family do I want my family to be like? I'd like to be that family. Whose marriage do I want my marriage to look like? I'd like to have that kind of marriage. Whose walk with God should I emulate? I want to have that walk with God. I want to be the example. Number one, we're all in a race as a finish line. Number two, learn the Bible. Number three, stay ready to be used. Number four, keep looking up and around and forward. Number five, keep winning souls. And number six, be the example. Would you stand with me, please, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed? I'll have asked somebody to come to the piano here, and I'm going to pray. When I'm done praying, if God's spoken to your heart on any of these matters, let me invite you to step out of your seat and come down to the front and do business with God today. Father, thank you for these sweet words that you placed in your word from the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to a young Timothy. Father, I pray that we would listen as we read these words and remember these thoughts, that we would apply them to our own lives. God, I pray that you bless each student here. Help them through the days. Lord, good days and bad, hard days and easy, up times and down. Lord, keep us in the race. Pray that you'd help us to finish the race well. Help us to know our Bibles. Father, I pray that we'd read them, study them. They'd become our friend. God, I pray that you'd help us to remain ready for you to use us. Help us to be in a state of readiness. Pray that our eyes would be open, that we'd be looking up toward the judgment seat of Christ, that we'd be aware there's an enemy, and we'd be looking forward at our goals and where we want to end up. And then, Lord, I pray that you'd give us a heart for souls. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to be looking for the next opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. And Father, make us exemplary. Help us to live our lives so that other people can copy us. And when they do, that they'll be more like Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this day and for this invitation. I pray that you bless all those that have come and those that will, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've not come and you want to, would you step out of your seat and come now and do business with God?